In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Each house has its own rules. You live in somebody else's house. You normally follow the rules and preferences of the person whose house it is. Often we get to have this discussion with our children as they get older, that as long as you live in my house, you will follow my rules. And if you don't, you can go find somewhere else to live. We understand that we're on someone else's turf. We, out of respect for that person, we do things his way. Walk into the courtroom, if you don't behave according to the proper rules and protocol of the court, be held in contempt, or you may even be kicked out of the courtroom and not be able to be present for the proceedings. At each service, the church that we serve, we offer this petition to the Lord in the great litany. We pray for this holy house and for those who with faith, reverence, and fear of God enter herein. Let us pray to the Lord. Why do we pray this? Why do we say this at every service? First of all, we pray for this holy house. What is this house that we come to worship at? First of all, we have to understand it's God's house. We understand what our house is. It's a place where we live. It's a place we sleep. It's a place we eat. It's the place where we kind of do things our way without... We have privacy. We can do a lot of things in the privacy of our own home that would not be acceptable on the street or in somebody else's house. But this house that we come, where we come to worship, is God's house. It's dedicated to Him. And we understand that God's house is holy. We pray for this holy house. Something to be holy means it's set apart, it's sanctified, it's not for common use. It's not to be used as we use other things like it. It's for special purposes. And so this house is set apart for the special purpose of prayer and worship of God. It's a house dedicated to prayer, as Jesus said to the Jews who were buying and selling in the temple. He said, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves." Now in the Jewish temple, sacrifices had to be offered, but they'd gotten it backwards. They turned it into a big commercial activity and forgotten the primary purpose, which was place to come before God, a place to pray, a place to lift one's heart to the Lord and cry out to Him with faith and with love. So God's house is a place of prayer. It's dedicated to prayer. It's dedicated to the worship of God. And so we pray for those who enter this holy house, that we may see it as a holy house and we may treat it as holy. Not as our bedroom, not as our living room, not as the street. We pray for those who enter herein, this holy house. Sometimes some Christians think that they don't need to come to church, that it's okay to be absent, that church attendance is an optional thing. I can pray to God. God is everywhere. I can pray to God in my bedroom, at home. I can pray to Him on the street. I can pray to Him on the mountaintop. And that's true. We can. And we should. There's no place in this world where we cannot pray. But as Christians, we have to come together. As the people of God, as the church, we have to come to God's house, that place that's set apart for the worship of God. And we lift our hearts together. We give common thanks. We partake of the one cup and of the one bread, as Christ commanded. And to neglect this is really not to be a Christian. Well, we may say we believe, but we don't carry out one of the first commands that Christ gave, to do this in remembrance of me. As Paul says in another place, do not be deceived as some who you know, forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And so we pray for this holy house and those who enter herein. But we also pray for the how. How do we enter this house? How do we enter in this place? How do we conduct ourselves while we are here? We pray with faith, reverence, and fear of God. First, faith. Those who enter this house with faith, we come with faith believing that God is. Or if we're not sure that He is, we at least desire to know Him if He can reveal Himself to us, if He will reveal Himself to us. But we come with faith that He is, that He will reward those who diligently seek Him. We come with faith that this is His house, this is His turf, this is His place, that it's holy. This is not our living room. This is His house. We come here to encounter Him. We come with faith that something special happens when we as God's people gather together, when we lift our common praise and thanksgiving to the Lord and join our hearts in prayer and worship. As Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. When we gather together, we fulfill that condition, and something special happens that can't take place in the privacy of our own home. We come in faith, we enter this house in faith that here in this place are offered to us the holy mysteries. That precious body and blood of Christ, of which we need to partake if we desire to have eternal life. Jesus said, if you do not eat My flesh and drink My blood, you have no life in you. So all of us need to come with faith, believing Jesus' words, and come and partake. And if we neglect to do this, if we think we can live without this, we delude ourselves. We need that medicine of immortality that Christ has prepared for us. If we're not able to partake, we need to prepare ourselves so that we can. Because this is offered and given to us for the cleansing of our sins, for the healing of our soul and body. So we should long for it and hunger for it. And we come with faith that here God imparts Himself to us. Now if we don't have this faith, if we don't come to God's house in faith, we probably first we won't bother to come, or we won't bother to come regularly. Or if we do come out of habit or out of obligation, we probably won't take what we do here seriously. We'll be easily bored or distracted. We'll be eager for it to be over and to move on to fun conversation and good food. And so we pray because we're weak and because we tend to think of conversation and good food. We pray when we come that we may enter this house, this holy house, God's house, with faith. And that we may be focused on what we're about to do. We pray that we may enter with reverence. This evlabeia in Greek. In classical Greek, this word means a caution, a discretion, a circumspection. You're on somebody else's turf. You watch your mind your P's and Q's. You watch your step. You take care about where you are and what you are doing. In the New Testament, we understand this word to mean a prudent fear or attitude of circumspection and caution as man stands in reverent awe of God. This is His house. We come here to meet Him. If we understand who He is, He's eternal, immutable, thrice holy, a consuming fire, whom no man can see without purity of heart and live. And here, we come before Him as Moses did at the burning bush, where God told Moses to put off your shoes, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And so there's a holy awe, a reverence when we come in here. This is not just another room. This is not just another place. It's a place where we can encounter God and where we're... And so we come with this reverence. This reverence born out of our knowledge that here God allows us to approach Him. And as we come with faith and lift our hearts together, the church becomes heaven during the service. We enter into the worship in the heavenly places of the angels and archangels and all the saints. And we won't see this without faith and without attention. But this is what we understand ourselves to be doing. If you just let that sink in, that we're joining with something much bigger, much greater than just we ourselves here, that alone will instill us with a sense of reverence. We come with the fear of, we ask that we may enter this holy house with the fear of God. Understanding that God is thrice holy, that He's a consuming fire. We come with a healthy fear. He's not our pet. He's not our tame dog. He's not a tame lion, as C.S. Lewis would have it. He loves us, He's merciful, but He's not ours to control. He's not ours to manipulate. We come with fear too because we're aware of our sinfulness. We're aware of the ways in which we dishonor Him, the way we disobey Him, the ways in which we forget Him during the week. We understand that our actions bring death, that they're worthy of correction and punishment. We have no right to claim a blessing because of the sinfulness of our lives. So we come with fear, and yet we dare to ask God's mercy. We come with fear because we know that God sees all, that He will call us to account for all, that we give account at the last day for every idle word and every thought and every action. If we've not dealt with them in confession here on earth, we will answer for them there at the throne of God. And, you know, while our parents might let us off, we might be able to slip by in confession here. There's nothing, if we don't deal with it here, that will not be made manifest there. And so we come with fear, but also with hope, because we know that God's mercy is greater, and that when we humble ourselves, when we come as beggars, as penitents, seeking His mercy and humility, with a broken and contrite heart, He will not despise us, and He will lift us up as we humble ourselves before Him. So each day, each time a service is served here, we pray that we may enter this holy house. We pray for this holy house as we enter with faith, reverence, and fear of God, who enter herein. How do we cultivate this attitude? We pray, we understand what we pray when that petition is intoned. We agree with it with all our heart as we say, Lord, have mercy. We cultivate this too by the way we conduct ourselves here, by the way we dress, by the way we act. We have rules, quote-unquote rules, posted on the door to help us with this. It's not meant to be some imposition or some legalism, but it's designed to help us cultivate this reverence, this faith, this fear of God, to make us aware of where we are and with whom we have to do. So we have a chance to apprehend Him, to see Him, to encounter Him as we're here, and so that we don't heap sin on ourselves by distracting others, by making it harder, even impossible for them to see God as they're here. And so we're called to dress modestly and neatly, dress in a way befitting God's house. Not as though we just rolled out of bed, throwing on whatever there was at hand to throw on. We're standing before God. We not want to look presentable, put on our best perhaps, or maybe our second best, but certainly not something way down the line. We don't want to dress in such a way that we distract others from worship. We don't want, in our sinfulness, we want people to look at us when we come in, but the goal is to dress in such a way that people's eyes aren't drawn to us and that people's thoughts aren't taken away from worship, thinking, why is he wearing that? Or, goodness gracious, what was she thinking when she put that on this morning? Here in God's house, it's not about you. It's about God. And so leave that stuff for somewhere else or get rid of it altogether if it's not worthy of being worn. This is why when we enter the church, traditionally we cross ourselves and bow three times at the church door. This is why Christians, when they walk on the street in front of a church, when they cross the axis of the altar, they face the church, cross and bow, and then go on their way. We're cultivating that reverence for God's house and a fear of God. This is why when we're in the church, we cease from our own words, from our conversations, from idle talk, from jokes, from play. This is God's house. This is a house of prayer, not a place of telling jokes or idle conversation. And so when we're in the church proper, we guard our mouths. We're supposed to be talking to God, not to one another here. Don't greet your friends when you come in the door. You can nod to them, but don't stop and have a conversation. Don't ask them how you are. That'll wait for outside in the narthex. And here our attention is on Him who made us, and Him who loves us, and Him who became man for us. And so we cut off all unnecessary words. We resist that temptation to make little joking comments to one another and to start up conversations that may distract, that will distract ourselves and possibly others. We come here to talk to God, not to one another. This is why when we come in, we seek to focus our attention fully. Or we turn off our cell phones and pagers so they don't distract us or others. So that if we have children, we keep them close to us. That we teach them and instruct them and train them how to conduct themselves in God's house so that they do not terrorize others, so that they do not distract others, so that they do not aren't able to act in such, so they act in such a way that they can't even understand, see or understand anything themselves. The children are supposed to be here. We want them here. At the same time, they have no right to run the show. They're not in charge. It's a shame to any parent when we let the children be in charge. And this we cannot do before God and before one another. That's why we take our children out when they get too noisy or lose control and correct them and bring them back when they've settled down. And for the rest of us who don't have children and those of us who do, all of us have to be an example to them. We have to set an example of how to conduct ourselves in God's house. And so we can't expect children to behave if while we're in church we're looking at them, making faces at them, smiling at them, motioning to them, and paying attention to them as they try to get our attention. We're just teaching them that it's okay, that if they do silly and cute things, that adults are going to pay attention to them and smile and just encourage them. Show them by your example what we're here for. We're here to focus our attention on God. And show them how to do it. God's house. This is why we don't bring in food or drink. This is His place. He gives us the essential food and drink, His body and blood. Other stuff gets left at the door. We could go on with specifics. There's more on the door there if you're interested. But all this comes out of our understanding in this petition, that we may enter this holy house of God with faith, reverence, and fear of God, that we may understand what this is. And we live in a culture that has desacralized everything. Nothing's holy. Nothing's respected anymore. The only thing that really has any sense of gravity or respect is a courtroom now. And even that's being turned to a circus in some cases. You know, I used to go to a church where the senior pastor would say, would hate it when people called the place where we worshiped and met for prayer, he hated to call it a sanctuary. He was always telling people, don't call it a sanctuary. That's too sanctimonious, that's too, you know, too high churchish or something. You know, call it an auditorium. And he consciously and intentionally discouraged people from treating that space as anything special. And of course, it didn't look like anything special. I had a friend from Russia came. He saw that church. And he said, "This is a church. It looks like a theater." He understood the difference. Too often we don't. This is why our Orthodox church, we have architecture and furnishings that remind us of where we are and help us to concentrate our attention on where it needs to be. But we live in a culture that doesn't treat anything as holy, nothing sacred. And it's, to treat something as sacred or holy or set apart is to be considered superstitious or some other benighted adjective of deprecation. And so we have a real challenge. It goes against the grain of the way we've been raised to enter into God's holy house with fear, with reverence, with faith. But this is what we pray when we enter this place. This is what we're called to do. So as we set our hearts on the Lord to know Him, as we seek to know during this Nativity season, this Nativity fast, as we seek to know God made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, may this house where we worship come for each of us a holy place, a place that we enter with faith, reverence, and fear of God, a place where we come to see and encounter the living God, to hear His voice, to receive His grace, and ultimately to receive His body and blood, which He has given to us for our healing. Christ our God, belong our glory, honor, and worship together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, in ages of ages.